Hey, it's Ron Jacobs for App Fabric TV, and today I, you know, it's one of these days where I got up and I read an email and somebody was pointing out that there was a message on our forums. So in the workflow forum, there was this question about how do you load XAMLX from a database? And, you know, I've been asked this so many times, I totally derailed my day. Okay, I just said, I've got to answer this today because I've been asked so many times. So here it is. Here's a blog post. I wrote the sample code. The sample code is here, and we're going to talk through it today. All right, so I have all the links for this. You can come and read the blog. You can look at the sample code, but we're going to talk about exactly how it works. So here's my sample code. Now, what I've got here is an ASP.NET MVC3 application. Now, I did it this way because, you know, basically, I'm trying to get more familiar with MVC. And I know a lot of you guys don't know MVC and MVC3. It's sort of beside the point, right? The main thing you have to do to make this work, and let's just go look at the blog post because it's going to talk us through it. Step one is you need to create a virtual path provider. The idea of a virtual path provider is that IIS allows you to declare a class that can get content from wherever you want to. It doesn't have to be in the physical file system. What I've done here, if we look at our task list, is I have organized the tasks in this project so you can just quickly see what I did. So if I come here to the virtual path provider, you see that what I have here is just a class that inherits from virtual path provider and then overrides a few methods. Now you can override methods for virtual paths at the file level, and you can also do directories if you want to. I didn't do directories, but you know, you could imagine doing directories where you had like workflow services for customer A and workflow services for customer B and that sort of thing. I didn't do that, but anyway, here's all I had to do. Just two methods, get file and file exist. Now, unfortunately, it's going to call file exist first, and then you go to the database and you get the file to see if it exists, and you've already done all that work, and then it's going to call get file again. Now, your virtual path provider can't really be stateful, so it just is going to feel like it's doing duplicate work, but that's just the way it is. All right, so creating the virtual path provider itself is pretty simple, but you'll notice that get file here requires me to return a virtual file. So let's look at virtual file. Now here's my class called workflow virtual file, and I have a type here that's called workflow. This is just a model from my model view controller, right? I've got a model class called workflow, and if we look at that model, we will see that it just has an ID, which would be the name of the service, and then the workflow definition stored as a string. All right, so now what I'm going to do is when this gets constructed, I'm going to go load the workflow. So let's look at that. This gets called a lot, and it's very performance sensitive, so we want to make it as fast as possible. So first thing I'm going to do is just get the file name without any extension on it, and then I'm going to that becomes the ID of my service. So if the file is service1.xamlx, it'll just be service1. Okay, and then what I want to do is look in the cache, all right, because this gets called a lot. We want to cache these definitions so we don't have to keep reading them out of the database. And in this sample code, I'm using Entity Framework 4.1 with the code-first approach. I totally love it. It's very cool. So the database code, you know, will vary depending on what you want to do, but here's my database code. I just say, hey, find that workflow, and then I save it in the cache, all right? And that's it. So that's how I load the workflow definition. And then, pretty simple, exist, just if I was able to find a workflow. And then there's another method here called open. And open is what it calls, like, so first it says, does it exist? Yep, then it's gonna call open on it. When it calls open, what it wants is a stream to read from. So what I'm doing here is I'm creating a memory stream. I'm writing the workflow definition into the memory stream, and then I reset the stream to the beginning and I return it. All right, and so now IIS is going to read from that stream and get the workflow definition. That's step two. Now, step three is where I register the virtual path provider. This is in the global ASAX.cs file, and just in the app start, I call register virtual path provider, and I create a new one. And that's it. Now, some tips about how you do this. You'll notice in my project, I got a bunch of folders here. Here's a folder called XAML, and there's nothing in it, all right? Nothing, because this is my virtual folder. And you say, Ron, if it's a virtual folder, why do you need a physical folder named XAML? Well, it turns out that if there's not a physical folder there, something in the WCF activation stuff throws an exception. I'm not exactly sure why. I haven't had time to research it yet, but maybe there's a workaround we'll figure out later. But for now, I just put an empty folder there. I have another folder here called sample, and what this has is your basic, you know, file new workflow service XAMLX files. Now, these are here just so I have a way to quickly populate a database with some XAMLX files. And my testing code assumes that we're dealing with a XAMLX file that looks like this default one with the get data method and all of that stuff, right? So I just created three of them here. We're just going to use these to populate the database. So if you look in the models, there's this workflow initializer class. What this does is it looks in the sample path, it gets all the XAMLX files and loads them into the database. Okay, so we'll start off with something there to begin with. There's some other interesting things here. So in the home view, what I did here is I'll show for each model, for each workflow, I'm going to show a link to the virtual file. Okay, so here's the link that I'll generate. So it references the XAML path for that virtual thing, and that it appends XAMLX and so forth, right? That will give us a link to the WSDL. Then there's a link to some code to test the file, and then there is some link to delete it from our repository. And if we look here at the controllers, in the home controller, there's a method here called test. All right, so what it does, I went through and created a proxy using the sample one, so I would have a generated proxy. This service client comes from that. So what I do is I get a virtual address based on the ID of the service we want to test, and that virtual address I'm just using to, once again, point at our virtual location in the XAML directory. Okay, and then once I've got the virtual address, I invoke the service, get data with 99, and then we'll look at the test result. Okay, so let's run it and see if everything is working just like we want. All right, so first thing, let's upload a new service. Okay, so I'm going to go here and upload a new service, and so I have here service4.xamlx. Let's upload that. Okay, so now you see it was added to our repository. And if I want to see the WSDL, I just click the WSDL link, and you see there, it's good old WSDL, just like you would expect, right? And you notice that I'm looking at the XAML directory, service4.xamlx. If we went and look in the file system, there's nothing there, right? Which is all pretty cool. Now, if I want to test it, I just click the test link. We see that we invoked our service at that URI. We got back the result. And that is it. Now, if I'm done with it, I can delete it out of the database. Bam, it's gone. And there you have it, my friends. You have workflow services with the database as a repository. And I know what you're thinking. The next question is, does it work with App Fabric? Well, all right, let me show you very quickly App Fabric. So I'm going to start it up here. I did this before I started the video. I deployed a set because I was curious, you know, will this work? And so if we look here in the App Fabric dashboard, some things work, some things are a little weird. All right, so first of all, you notice that App Fabric says I have three services here. That number comes because it crawls through the file system looking for the services, and you'll notice that it found them in my sample directory. So I might have 100 services in my database. That is really not going to be an accurate thing right there, because there's no way for the, apparently the way this is working is not going to work with the virtual path provider. Now, on the other hand, you can see that my WCF calls are happily being recorded, and they're using the virtual path there. So that is totally fine. And I also get instance activation records also using the virtual path. And so I can come in here in App Fabric. I can view the tracked events just like I expect. And there's my all of my stuff there. So yes, it totally works with App Fabric with the exception of the services. Okay, so that is it. And once again, here is the sample. This sample requires Entity Framework 4.1. That's already pulled in using NuGet. It uses SQL Server Compact Edition 4, which is something I did not have on my machine when I started this morning, so I got that with the web platform installer. Okay, so take a look at it. Hope you enjoy that for App Fabric TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacob.